WABC.
One man has a talk show on 77 WABC, and that man's name is...
It's Dominic Carter.
I am him.
And with us now, Dominic Carter.
Nice to be with you, Dominic.
It gets better.
You need to talk to Dominic Carter.
It's about to go down.
This is Dominic Carter, everybody.
On Talk Radio 77 WABC.
And good morning. Israel hits back at Iran with a barrage of missiles and drones. More than 300 drones and missiles were aimed by the Israeli Defense Forces of targets within Iran. Israel launched its expected retaliatory strike against Iran, and this happened a few hours ago. Israel Defense Forces again aiming more than 300 drones and missiles at targets within Iran. We're going to have a lot more on this throughout the hour. And of course, we are taking your telephone calls. 800-848-WABC. 800-848-9222. The NYPD arrests over 100 students, clears the Columbia University campus of pro-Palestinian protest. That is an encampment that had been set up at the university. And so the pro-Palestinian protesters happened to be on the lawn of Columbia University, and the university had enough, calling in the NYPD. And officers, NYPD officers with batons and wearing riot helmets, went in taking dozens of Columbia University students and protesters into custody after groups protesting the war in Gaza refused to take down the two-day encampment zone. Imagine what was happening at Columbia University, one of the country's most renowned institution, an Ivy League school, and you had these green tents all over the lawn. It could not remain this way. So hundreds of officers entered campus in the early afternoon with several NYPD school buses on standby. The buses came up to transport those arrested, and this couldn't come any sooner. This is something that should have been going on not just weeks ago, months ago. 800-848-WABC, 800-848-9222. The students, those that were protesting, continued to chant on the lawn throughout the day. There was even a protest right outside campus, and they tried setting up new tents just a few yards away. The university's president, she says that, and I'm quoting here, that she regrets that all the attempts to resolve the situation were rejected by the students involved, adding, as a result, NYPD officers are now on campus and in the process of clearing the encampment away. The 12 jurors have been selected for the trial of former President Donald Trump. They have one alternative juror selected. They have five more to do tomorrow. It should not be a problem coming up with the five alternative jurors. And of course, folks, they won't have a say. The alternates, they won't have a say, but they have to sit there and listen to the entire case. And it's important that you have the alternates, because if you recall the corruption trial of New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, you had one or two jurors that left. They had pre-planned events, And thus, as a result, the alternate jurors had to step in. And they have to be ready to go so that the entire trial is not blown up in smoke. In many regards, the alternates are just as important as the 12 that are seated. There is a lot going on this morning, and we're going to try and break it all down for you. Dominic Carter here with you, Talk Radio 77 WABC. But I want you to understand what was building as it relates to the Columbia University situation. What this young lady said. Now, I don't believe that she's a student at Columbia University. She was clearly an agitator. She was trying to hide her face when she made this vile comment. I want you folks to keep in mind that there are agitators in any situation that are trying to provoke it even further. Vile, vile comment. I want you to listen to what this young lady said as a few Jewish students and residents walked by her. Listen to this.
We are Hamas.
You're Hamas. Wow. That's a good one. You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas. Hey.
We're all Hamas. No, we're not all Hamas. We're not at all. But clearly the young lady was trying to provoke the situation at Columbia, right outside the main campus door. So the college president, the NYPD, had to do something. This was building, building, building. And you can't just continue to let these radical nuts do what they're doing. After all the arrests were made, Mayor Adams joined the news conference at One Police Plaza. And here is what Mayor Adams had to say.
New Yorkers have every right to express their sorrow. But that heartbreak does not give you the right to harass others, to spread hate. And I urge everyone who is protesting to please, please do so peacefully and respectfully, because we would not be in a city of lawlessness.
Bravo to the NYPD for moving in. I hope this is more the norm than the exception. It's time to shut it down. Listen to what John Chell of the NYPD had to say as it relates to what officers had to encounter.
What occurred was about 500 students left their classrooms, surrounded the quad, and were telling us to, with the KKK, we should go kill ourselves. We're baby killers. And everything else you can imagine. It was sad. It was very sad to see. But our officers were professional, as you saw in the video. They did their job calmly. No incidents. And we took care of the situation.
Indeed. And hopefully this will become the norm from the NYPD. It's time to shut it down. To shut down the hate machine. A bit later, we'll let you hear of how Mayor Adams received an earful in Harlem at a community resident meeting, and the issue of migrants came up, and these folks were not trying to hear it in Harlem, giving the mayor an earful. You'll hear that a bit later, but let's continue with the topics that we have on the table right now. And of course, the big story is that Israel hits back at Iran with a barrage of missiles and drones. Israeli missiles hit at least one site in Iran, and several explosives were heard across the country. Let's begin with your calls. Let's start this morning with Larry in Brooklyn. Good morning, Larry. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Yeah, Dominic, hi. I want to have a discussion with you, because there's a lot of misconceptions about what these students, what's going on. I don't believe that these students know what they're talking about with the Hamas thing. OK, there's two things going on here. There's radicalization of these people by professors. That's Columbia's problem. That's the problem of these Ivy League schools. For example, this professor, Joseph Mossad, who works for Columbia. He's a Middle East scholar. I don't think they didn't fire him. He said that what Hamas did on October 7th was awesome, and they didn't fire him. Now, how the hell are you going to expect students not to gather together and repeat what this professor said? The university is idolizing this professor, let alone the students. So the students, these are young minds. They don't really know what they're doing, and evidence of that is what they said to the NYPD, you baby killers, you this, that. They did the whole kitchen sink because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. That's the first thing that's going on. Now, the second point I want to make is not only that these students don't know what they're doing, but they push the envelope because in 2020, the Antifa protests, Antifa, were not put down. I believe, and I said it then back in 2020, that when Trump was president and Antifa was doing what they were doing, they needed another Kent State. And I meant it because Antifa was violent and revolutionary. And that's why these students are they're pushing the envelope because Antifa got away with it. So students want to see how much they get away with.
OK, so Larry, where are we? So I listen to you. Right. One, I don't even want to deal with the Kent State comment because we don't want to see that come back. I heard you, but that's not where my mind is right now. I don't even want to deal with that. But I don't understand why you're acting like these kids are naive or dumb and they don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
Well, because they're being influenced by professors who do know what they're doing. See, this Joseph Mossad, he's hiding behind his scholastic credentials. He wrote a few books.
I don't know if this professor has tenure. You know, it's easy to say get rid of them. And if it was up to me, I'd get rid of this guy based on what you're saying, Larry. But we don't know if he has tenure. And if he has tenure, it's not that easy.
But listen, even though it's not that easy, it's still possible. But these universities are playing along. They're playing along with these professors. And for some reason, you know what they're doing? They're hiding behind freedom of speech. It's not that easy because the professors have freedom of speech. But so that's what they're really hiding behind. But they're creating. Look what they're creating on campus. They need to be dealt with these universities in other ways, financial retribution like they did in Harvard, you know, like the sponsors. They need to be starved.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. But the endowment, I guess, just like at Harvard, at Columbia, is so big. You know, Columbia has the money coming in. But Larry, we do agree on that point. You've got to hit them where it hurts, and that is financially. And Columbia, thank you for the call, Larry. Columbia University cannot continue to let these agitator students that think they know what's right continue to engage in this. And it's almost like Columbia is becoming the hub for the pro-Palestinian cause as it relates to Gaza and what's going on. Anthony in Manhattan, you're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Yeah, good evening, Dominic. I would like to express something about
the law. Go ahead.
You
don't have to tell me you want to. Just go ahead, please.
The First Amendment is not absolute.
Agreed.
And you cannot say what you want to say. And a lot of these professors in Columbia are making frivolous comments. They're making anarchist comments. They're motivating these students to act in an unscrupulous way, advocating violence and dissension and radical Islam is not the way to go. Secondly, I also believe that the anarchists that are provoking these demonstrations are not coming from within the university.
Many of them are not.
They're not. And it's up to the NYPD to do a thorough and methodical investigation. Secondly, what Mayor Adams did today was absolutely correct. He enforced and executed the law, and he did it in a professional manner. That's all I have to say. I used to live in that community, and I had discussions with the faculty in that college. They're extreme leftists there. I hate to say this. They have to be crushed.
No, I hear you, Anthony, but to give the students a pass and indicate that this is all coming from the professors, I just don't buy that. You have some professors that their comments are outrageous, and God only knows what they're teaching these young adults behind closed doors. But I really do believe these young people know exactly what they are doing, and it's disgusting. Thank you so much for the call, Anthony. You have a great morning. Let's go to Mordecai in New Jersey. Good morning, Mordecai. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. First thing, just a really quick side comment. I wanted to talk about that woman banging on the rail saying that we're Hamas. And you know what? She is too well-fed to be a Hamas operative. I'm just going to put that out there. And I'll leave it at that. That's a nice way of putting it. Second of all, with U.S. Telling Israel to show restraint, and everybody talking on Twitter how Israel's the bad guy for bombing Iraq, bombing Syria, bombing Iran, it's like, well, if you mess with the bull, are you really surprised that you're getting the horns at this point? I don't understand why. It's like people are, you know, celebrating and wishing that the Iron Dome fails when Iran's attacking Israel, when Hamas is attacking Israel on October 7th. They're wishing for the most amount of casualties, yet when Israel responds, they're viewed as the bad guy. I don't get it.
Well, that's in part anti-Semitism. You know what it is, Mordecai. And I agree with you. You can't attack people in the way that Israel was attacked October 7th. I don't need to repeat what happened. We all know what happened to the children, to the women, to the seniors. We all know what happened. You can't have that, and then Israel under constant attack, and then Israel does what any country would do in terms of defending itself, and then Israel is the bad guy. But you know, Mordecai, what kind of scared me is that you said what people were stating on social media. And so that kind of scares me, because that says that you're forming your opinion, or at least paying attention to what people are stating on social media. That just bothers me, that, you know, because I think clearly listening to you, you know, right from wrong. And so I just wouldn't give social media that much attention.
Look,
but it sounds like it's that powerful.
It's not that I'm thinking about it in terms of it's swaying my opinion. I know that the majority of these people are, you know, insignificant when it comes to real life and everyday life. But it's just the fact that I see what pops up on the algorithm, what pops up on the line, and that there's so many people, you know, tens of thousands of people, you know, responding and agreeing. It's just that's what scares me, that this many people think this way. That's what it is. Not that their opinion matters anything to me.
Okay. Okay, I hear you. I hear you. And thank you. Thank you so much for the clarification. And you know, folks, I have not even, you know, and hopefully during the course of this hour, I can go through the highlights of the jury selection process. They have the jury for this Trump trial. But also we have another woman that was randomly punched in the face. This happened near Washington Square Park. And with all due respect to the NYPD, finally, this one is being called a possible hate crime. I don't have the details. I can give you a few of the specifics a bit later. But the NYPD is investigating a 27-year-old NYU administrator randomly slugged by a stranger on Washington Square North near Fifth Avenue. And it's being investigated as a possible hate crime. Newsflash, they're all hate crimes. In all of them, the attackers are African-American, 99%. And in 99% of the victims, they happen to be white women. They're all racial attacks. Joe and Lynbrook, good morning, Joe. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Hey, Dominic, I have to ask you one question. As you know, Google fired 28 employees, right?
Yes.
I saw the video. Now, let me ask you a question. Why are all their faces covered with masks?
Well, you know why. Why are you asking me a rhetorical question? You know why.
Yeah, I know why.
Why are you asking me that, Joe?
Well, it's like you said, rhetorical. If they want to protest against something, show your face.
Right. Well, it's the same reason why the, I don't even want to call her a young lady. It's the same reason why the woman who looked mentally deranged, the woman up at Columbia said, we're all Hamas. What a disgusting thing to do. And if you notice, she had almost her entire face covered except for her eyes.
Yeah, I got it, Dominic. But especially, though, if you're going to protest something, be brave and show your face.
Agreed. I agree with you, Joe. But, you know, they want it both ways. They want to protest against Israel and the United States and then go home and eat steak and do all the great things that Americans get to do. They want it both ways. Absolute phonies. You know that, Joe.
Yeah, I know. But again, it's rhetorical. Especially the white woke liberals, if you're going to be brave and, you know, protest, show your faces. That's it, Dominic. All right, good night.
Thank you. Okay, fair enough, Joe. But good luck with that. They're not going to do that in terms of showing their face because they're cowards. And they know what will happen once they're identified. They will lose their job. They will lose just about everything. Let's go to Barry in Brooklyn. Good morning, Barry. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Okay, Dominic, two things. First thing with Trump, I see him on TV, and it's sickening to see what they're putting this man through. It's sadistic, and it can't be tolerated. This is incredible. I can't believe what's become of this country. How could this happen? Okay, that's the Trump thing. That's number one. Number two, these imbeciles that are out on the street every day getting away with this, that, and the other thing. They'll close the bridge. They'll close that. They're going to tell you when you could go home from work. They want to take over your life. And where are we at now? We're at the point where something's got to be done. When these people started tearing down posters of hostages of people that were abducted on October 7th, what did that tell us? What more of a message did we need right then and there? You see somebody's tearing down a poster, you call 911. Where's Mr. Israel, Eric Adams? Where is he?
Well, you can't wait, Barry. You can't call 911 for someone ripping down a poster. That's an abuse of emergency services. It's a clear violation what these sick individuals were doing, and they know therein lies the problem because the police resources are limited, right? And so, are they going to fight crime or are they going to respond to people that are taking down posters? I wish no one would have done that, but there are some sick, demented people in the world. Barry, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Richard in New Jersey. Good morning, Richard. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Yes, Mr. Carter. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that it is true that Hamas does not care for its people, otherwise it never would have attacked Israel. And that this is a fact. However, I just think it's sad because I hear many Israeli expressions over here because I grew up, you know, with many Jewish friends, mostly Jewish friends, and many of them will say they all have to be eliminated, the women and children too, so another generation is not brought up to hate us. Now, I understand what they're saying, but I just think it's kind of sad because the Palestinian women and children never got a fair vote. They didn't know what they were doing when they let Hamas come to power. I don't think they had a fair vote in 2006, 2007. You know, Ismail Haniyeh was a pretty boy. He had charisma.
Richard, yeah. Have you seen the videos of what happened October 7th?
I know. It's so horrible.
No, I'm talking about the quote-unquote innocent Palestinians. Did you see what happened when Israeli citizens were literally dragged back to Gaza? Did you see how people were clapping And they thought it was just one big victory lap, one big victory parade.
So then they all have to be executed with the bombings, I guess, right? Because you're right. I know. So you have to kill the women and the children. So we have to eliminate the whole culture, I guess. So this can never happen
again.
I
don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I will say, as I've consistently said, that Hamas must go. Every part of Hamas must go. And Israel has every right to make sure that every part of Hamas must go, period. Richard, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Dave in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Dave. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Good morning, Dominic. How you doing? Listen, one thing I hear is a lot of times in the news, people refer to these as pro-Palestinian. It's almost like calling a bunch of Nazi protesters pro-German. And they're advocating Hamas. Hamas hates Israel. They're anti-Semites, period. They're anti-Semitic protesters.
You can't call all of them anti-Semitic protesters, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, they're supporting a cause that shows a lot of anti-Semitism, and that part is true. I wouldn't go to protest on something that may be morally wrong, but maybe something I agree, maybe a regulation or something that's totally irrelevant to what, you know, the major purpose of the cause or the protest is. But it confuses the issue because there's nothing there that's talking about, you know, promoting what does it mean to be pro-Palestinian? I mean, it's not a country. It was a plot of land where people were put. It's never been a country. It was something that was created after World War II, you know, and I think it confuses the issue, and these young gullible skulls of mush fall for all the rhetoric and propaganda that's supporting the anti-Semitism that's going on with these protesters. Maybe it's something that just gets under my skin, I guess.
No, I understand, Dave, and I hear you, because the truth of the matter is any reasonable person, this type of situation is going to get under your skin. It gets under my skin terribly what's going on. And it gets under my skin as it relates to the protests that have been occurring here on college campuses. And especially when you consider what happened to the Israeli people who were not bothering anyone on October 7th, and they were attacked by these savages, plain and simple. Dave, thank you for the call. Dominic Carter here with you, Talk Radio 77 WABC. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to Marianne in Queens. We're going to go to Manhattan, New York, other parts of the country. We're also will continue to take your calls coming up at 45 minutes past the hour. We will have the Chronicles of Dominic Carter at 1 a.m. Frank Morano on the other side of midnight. A number of breaking stories at this hour. Number one, Israel hits back at Iran with a barrage of missiles and drones. Israeli missiles hit at least one site in Iran, and several explosives were heard across the country. We will be right back.
WABC.
They say this is a big rich town. I just come from the poorest part. Bright light city life, I gotta make it.
Now, here's Dominic Carter on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
And we are back on this Friday morning. Dominic Carter here with you, Talk Radio 77 WABC. Israel hits back at Iran with a barrage of missiles and drones. More than 300 drones and missiles were aimed by Israeli Defense Forces at targets within Iran. The NYPD arrests students, more than 100 students, clearing Columbia University's campus of pro-Palestinian protest encampment. That happened. The NYPD moved in at the request of Columbia University. And bravo, bravo, bravo to the NYPD. We have another incident of a woman being punched in the face. A female NYU administrator, 27 years old, randomly punched near Washington Square Park. This time the police are calling it a possible hate crime. So we have the jury in the Trump case, the alleged hush money case, the judge declaring we have our jury. Later on today, they will continue to pick alternate jurors. They have one alternate. They have five more to go. It's important that you have six alternates because, again, I saw firsthand in the Menendez trial what can happen where they almost ran out of alternates. And we had no idea what the federal judge would do if they indeed ran out of all the alternates. So that's why in this case, they're coming up with six alternates. And that's to make sure that the alternates that will hear the same case, that they can step in, if need be, right away. Mayor Adams. On the issue of migrants. We're going to go back to your telephone calls, but the mayor is starting to receive the same type of backlash as Brandon Johnson in Chicago. The mayor at a community resident meeting in Harlem received an earful on the migrant issue. You're going to hear this right now yourself, where one man clearly says, Mr. Mayor, the election is coming up soon, and either basically what the man says is either you're with us or you're against us. Listen to this earful Mayor Adams received, and then we're going to go right back to your telephone calls.
We do not want to hear excuses. These asylum seekers, the refugees, and the migrants, they did not vote for you. They did not pay taxes. And yes, majority of them are criminals. And if you're saying that you have to deport them, but also at the same time say, well, this is a sanctuary state, this is a sanctuary city, essentially you're telling us you are useless to us. We have on 130th Street, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., who was an American freedman, who advocated for the American freedman, and you're telling us you can't do anything for Harlem? What does this say? Harlem homes for Harlem residents. Asylum seekers are not Harlem residents. They are not citizens. In the Constitution solely and is primarily for United States citizens, especially the American freedman citizen. So when this man said that we're talking about Harlem, Harlem did not have the asylum seeking renaissance. It was the Harlem Renaissance that was started with the American freedmen in the city of Harlem. So you must give priority to the American citizens. You must give priority to the American freedmen citizens. And when you stand up here and tell us you can't do anything, guess what? It's election time.
Okay.
It's election time. So we will let you know you can be removed just like how you got voted in.
Time.
And time couldn't come fast enough for Mayor Adams receiving an earful in Harlem. Be very careful, Mr. Mayor. Be very careful. That is your base. You lose your base. And good luck with that. Right back to your telephone calls. A lot going on this morning. Teddy in Yonkers. Good morning, Teddy. What's on your mind?
Dominic, I love you, man. You're the best.
Thank you, Teddy. Thank you.
Dominic, I don't know where to start. The utter contempt for the students, the utter contempt for the so-called professors, they weren't like that when you went to Cortland and when you went to Syracuse.
They weren't. They weren't.
They were the James Restons of the world. They were the... what can I say, man? And, Dominic, Israel had every right, and what do you think Iran is thinking now? Does Iran think that Israel has a big pair of B word, you know what? And I don't want to say it on the air, but will this show fear in Iran, or will Iran take more aggressive steps towards Israel, in your opinion? And I would love to hear what you have to say about
the
that.
The problem in a situation like this is that countries will posture. Israel is not in a position to posture. Israel is fighting for its survival.
I agree.
Iran may decide to posture. Now, what that will mean, Teddy, I don't know. I hope it doesn't mean aggressive action. I hope. But anyone that tells you they can answer that question is lying to you this morning. We don't know what the next step is in this process, unfortunately.
On the Rita Cosby show tonight, she had a guest, and the guest said that Israel has knocked out much of the capabilities of the proxy of Hamas with the rockets and much with Hezbollah, and Iran is really hurting for what Israel has done. And I don't know if Iran has the power to go further and be aggressively on the attack mode. And I hope not. I mean, what can I say? But the bottom line is this. Iran had said it. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and they want to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. And then Iran and all of these so-called Muslim militant countries want to go after the United States. And that's what I feel is going to happen. Dominic, thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Teddy. You know, if I'm being completely honest, I felt that Israel had to retaliate for what Iran did. I know people feel that it was not much that Iran did, that it, you know, didn't hit any major targets or so on. But I do feel that Israel had to respond. And so now that Israel has responded to this situation, I don't know what the next step is. I hope that it's not from Iran, that it's not an escalation. And perhaps this will all play out a bit further later on today, but I don't know. And anyone that tells you that they definitively have an answer, I don't think that they know what they're talking about. Marianne in Queens, good morning. You're on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning.
Well, I was expecting this to come to this end for a long time. You know why? Because the people of Israel, they don't surrender. They are fighting for their survival, like you say. And their children were decapitated and their young girls were raped. So they are doing what anyone would have done in their case, but they are not going to leave things in the middle. They're going to complete that, and we had to expect that to happen. Now, most of the people that are protesting, they are very well-trained professional agitators.
No, that's not true. That's not true, Marianne, but go ahead.
Well, let me tell you, I have a lot of family living in Washington Heights. Columbia University, where it's located, is basically part of Washington Heights.
That's many not true. Columbia there. University well, is part of Harlem. It's not Washington Heights, but go ahead. And it's not even called Washington Heights. And it's not even called Harlem. It's called Morningside Heights officially. But go ahead.
You know what? I used to go walking from Washington Heights. So we in Washington Heights, the people that I have there, my family, consider that as part of them. Now, what I'm saying here is that many of those people are paid by the bank account of George Soros and people like him.
I would say but I don't believe a majority. We got to wrap this up, Marianne, so please get to the point.
Okay. Do you remember Occupy Wall Street? It was the teachers' union who said the office space to put shelter those people because of the weather. When I was in college in the 80s, late 80s, I participated in what the Democrat activists make the students to go through. And they have a very good training that is called grassroots organization, and I participated in many rallies, and I even helped to organize them. We have to open our eyes, okay? And by the way, yes, Columbia University is so involved with the Washington Heights that they even give preference to people in Washington Heights to give them grants. So you say what is the rule for you guys to say, but I'm telling what the people in the street say and do. Believe me, there's a lot of people being paid there, like they did with Black Lives Matter.
Well, I don't know about that, Marianne, but, you know, this is the first time I've been in New York a long, long time. This is the first time I've ever in my life heard Columbia University being located in Washington Heights. I've always heard that it's located in Harlem. And if you talk to anybody that's from the university, they will say Morningside Heights. And I lived across the street from the university for about 10 years. I have never in my life heard it referred to as part of Washington Heights. But I hear you, Marianne. Thank you for the call. Folks, I've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have the Chronicles of Dominic Carter, and then we're going to go to New York, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and more of your calls. And coming up at the top of the hour, Frank Morano and the Other Side of Midnight.
WABC.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. These are the Chronicles of Dominic Carter on 77 WABC.
Tragically, another woman randomly punched in the face, this time an NYU administrator. This happened Wednesday. Police are calling it a possible hate crime. This was just outside of Washington Square Park, the latest in this recent string of unprovoked attack on women, mostly in Lower Manhattan. The 27-year-old woman was slugged by a stranger on Washington Square North near Fifth Avenue across the street. The green space about 10:30 a.m. The victim, an NYU administrator, was walking westbound on Washington Square North when an unknown person walked up and punched the right side of her face without any provocation or words being exchanged. And so the NYPD's hate crime task force has been notified of the attack. The male suspect took off after striking the woman. And we don't know why officially that the hate crimes unit is looking at this in terms of how bias may have been a factor. But again, folks, every single one of these incidents have been a bias attack. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out African-American male suspect. Almost 95% of the victims happen to be white women. These are racial attacks. The question is why? We are taking your calls up until the top of the hour. That's when Frank Morano will get underway. But again, two top stories that we're dealing with. Israel hits back at Iran with the barrage of missiles and drones. Israeli missiles hit at least one site in Iran, and several explosives were heard across the country. And at Columbia University, the NYPD moves in after the university president asked them to do so, making more than 100 arrests, wearing their riot helmets and having batons. Bravo, 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 NYPD. We're continuing with your calls up until the top of the hour. Let's go to Steve in Manhattan. Good morning, Steve. What's on your mind?
Good morning. With the Israel-Palestine situation, there's always three sides of the story. Your side, my side, and the truth. What we need to do is find solutions.
Okay, I think Israel's been trying to do that for many, many years, Steve.
Well, what about Palestine? What would you do back in the 40s if they just took over your country? They came and they just took over your country. How would you feel?
You know, this is an argument that goes back and forth, back and forth, each side having a different story. But do me a favor. Okay, let's say I buy exactly what you just said, and I don't, but let's say I buy it, right? How do you explain October 7th?
Well, October 7th is unfortunate, but this is before.
No. Notice you said four words and then went to but. How could you, with all due respect, Steve, how could you dare say but?
Well, it's unfortunate, but, you know.
Steve, do you have daughters?
Yes, I have a daughter.
I think you said your daughter's a police officer, right?
No, that's incorrect. I never said that. Oh.
Okay, all right. So I'm confused. So you have a daughter, I have a daughter, right? Yeah. How would you feel, Steve, God forbid, if right now, right this very moment, not just one, but several men are having sex with your daughter or my daughter and raping them and with no regard for what the woman says, no regard for, how would you feel in that situation, Steve?
I feel terrible. That would be unacceptable.
Right. That's the way the people of Israel feel.
But doesn't it work both ways? Isn't Israel doing that to Palestine also?
I have never heard of the UN has officially accused Hamas of using sex as a weapon of war. I have never heard that thrown at Israel. What I want to do is I want you to stay with me, Steve, and I'm going to have a live conversation between you and Norman in Brooklyn. So, and we can only hear one of you at this, you know, speak at once. So Norman, you're with us live and Steve is still with us live as well. What's on your mind, Norman?
What's on my mind is, I believe Steve is well-meaning, but, Steve, you really don't know your history when it comes to that land. There never was a land, okay? There was a reestablishment of the State of Israel in 1948. That land, 5,000 years ago, all for many, many thousands of years, has always been the land of the Jews. Those people who identify themselves as Palestinians, they came somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 years ago to that land, okay? They, in my opinion, and there were always Jews there, okay? There've always been Jews in that land, which was, you know, the Jews originally called Canaan, okay? The Romans came, there was a diaspora, but there was always Jews there, okay? Those people should have checked the lease of the land to maybe give it some thought that the original owners would come back. Okay? So that's it. Look, I want peace for the area, but there has never been a land officially called Palestine. Those people are Arabs. Okay? Their ancestry, many of their ancestry does not go back to that land. They go back to, it goes back to Jordan. It goes back to other countries in the area. So, you know, I wish the best for them. But clearly, throughout history, biblically, the land belongs to the Jews.
Okay, Norman, so stay with us. I want to give Steve the opportunity to respond.
Okay, Steve? Well, I'm not a history major, so I don't know. But all I'm saying that there's two sides of the story. I'm pretty sure you can find somebody that agrees with me that might have more knowledge in history, Norman. So that's all I have to say. And we need to find solutions. That's all. Not all Palestine people are bad. Not all people from Israel are bad. We need to find a middle ground and stop pointing fingers, because when you point a finger at somebody, three fingers are pointing back at you.
Okay, Steve, thank you for the call. Norman, I give you the final say before I move on to Ina in Manhattan. Go right ahead.
The final say is, this is not America, okay? You're applying a Western way of looking at the world to that region, okay? I trust the Israelis. I trust their decisions. And I suggest that you go there before you call up the radio station. I lived there for 10 months of my life. So I suggest that you go there, and then you would, or if you comment on this issue, you don't have to be a history major, but you should maybe expand your horizons a little bit by maybe going to Israel. That's all.
Well, what I thank you, Steve, and thank you, Norman. And what I do find pleasant is Norman wasn't disrespectful in his response, and but I do happen to agree with him. And on this issue, I side 1,000% with Israel. Period. Tony in Brooklyn. Good morning, Tony. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dominic.
Hi. So go caller, right ahead, please.
You know, 24andMe DNA test out in Israel, because when they do their results, it shows that the results, the DNA lineage is from places like Slovenia and Russia and Poland. There's okay. no
Hey,
conclusive.
Tony, I got 3 minutes left. Tony, you got to get to the point. There are people waiting. Get to the point, please.
Yeah. Whenever they take their DNA tests and they try to trace their roots back.
You said that already. You said that already. What is your point, Tony?
My point is their DNA tell the story.
So you're saying you're saying that Norman is wrong. I need you to be direct and get to the point. I have 2.5 minutes left to the show. Okay, so he's gone. So let's go to Ina in Manhattan. Good morning, Ina. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. You went to the point, Dominic. They said Israeli. Is Israelites, and the Israelites was dark-skinned people. I go by the Bible. This is Revelation.
Okay, Ina, the Israelites and all of that stuff. This is not the time nor the place. Is there another point that you wanted to make, people. Ina, before I move on? Because Frank is standing by.
What Ina? Did he say? Yes.
I said, is there another quick point you want to make? I don't want to debate that with 2 minutes left in the show.
Okay, they said that the Palestinian attacked Israel. Israel been attacking them six years ago. He bombed the building and killed a lot of people.
So Ina, you want to ignore October 7th. I'm a little surprised to hear that from you.
You don't talk about 6 years ago when he bombed the building them day and night. Bibi did that. You didn't see that until the Israeli people take him out, and first they were accusing him of stuff, and then
Ina, respectfully, until October 7th is dealt with, all the horrible things that happened to Israel, nothing else matters in that situation. Period. Thank you for the call, Ina. Until there's an answer for why you took young girls that were virgins and brutally raped them repeatedly, I can't believe, Ina, that you just said that. Normally, you're a person of reason. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, Israel, I guess, wasn't attacked on October 7th. Israel minding its business, and they're attacked by these savages. And no, you know, but some of you don't want to look at that. Joining me right now, Frank Morano, the other side of midnight. Good morning to you, sir, on this Friday.
Hello, Dominic. Happy Friday.
So what do you have coming up in just seconds?
We're going to bring people the latest on what's happening in the Middle East. We're going to talk the Middle East movies and more with Debbie Schlussel, also working on getting a couple of other experts on the Iran situation. But first, we're going to kick things off with Ask Frank Anything. So whatever people have questions about for the next hour, I'll do my best to answer them. And then we'll have denunciations coming up a bit later.
I can't wait. Just please don't keep me up too late this morning. Frank Morano and the other side of midnight coming up right now. A lot of stories, breaking headlines. Frank will continue to update you on them. Have a great day, folks.